Well, today, Jaws has been re-released into theaters to celebrate the 50th anniversary. And it's on at the Kramer IMAX Theater this weekend. When I saw that it was going to be playing at the IMAX, and the movie's been remastered to fit the big screen, too. It's my all-time favorite movie. And bought tickets for a matinee on Monday. A few of us are going to go. And it looks like a lot of people are interested in seeing Jaws on the big IMAX because, man, it was like three quarters full when I went to purchase the tickets at the showing I was going to. But if you recall, a few weeks ago, they actually officially celebrated the 50th anniversary of Jaws in Martha's Vineyard, which acts as Amity Island in the movie. And that's where I found a few weeks back on my show one of the shark victims from the movie, an actor by the name of Jeffrey Voorhees. He was 12 at the time of the filming of the movie, and he's a shark victim. And I caught up with him. It was really cool. I started by asking him how many times he's now watched the movie Jaws himself and witnessed his own shark attack.
If you say how many times you watched the whole movie, I would say probably in single digits. You watched it when you were a kid, and you only watch it so much, but if we're at a restaurant or a bar, someone's like, okay, you're about to die. I've seen myself die in it because that's right in the beginning of the movie. So I've seen myself die more than 100 times probably.
Were you ever disturbed by it, or was it just too fun at the time? You were 12 years old at the time, right? So,
well, when you first saw the movie, everyone's like, oh, were you afraid of the shark? No. We used to break in and climb all over the mechanical shark at nighttime. We were little kids. We knew where they stored it at the yacht club. So we go down there, play on it. And when I get eaten, the shark's nowhere near me. So you're swimming in this cold water. And Spielberg's like, at first the shark was going to bite a mannequin that looked like me. And they said, this is too gory because the head's flying up in the air and arms and legs are everywhere. That's where Spielberg goes, we're going to try something different. He goes, you're going to beg to go in the water, take your raft and swim out to it. When you get near that barrel, you couldn't see it from the shore. It's full of blood. He goes, when you get near that barrel, we'll say cut. Then they put a half a raft over this barrel full of blood. Then he goes, we're going to start filming now. And when it explodes, go underwater and stand there as long as you can. So you're 12 years old, you're all nervous, and all of a sudden, bam, blood shoots up your nose. It's going all over the place. And swim ashore, I go to Spielberg. He was only 27. We all set now? He's like, no, your arm came out of the water. We're going to have to do it again. And it would take 7 or 8 hours for that blood to clear out. The second time we tried it, he's like, no, your arm came out of the water. Day three, your leg came out of the water. Day four, your arm came out. And then finally on day five, he goes, this is taking too long. He goes, change of plans. We got two guys in wetsuits, and when that explodes, go underwater and stand there as long as you can. In the movie, you see me go up and down. It's two guys holding your leg, lifting your hand out of the water, and they pull you under, give you air. So day five, we finally got it.
Chief Brody?
Yes?
You knew there was a shark out there, but you let people go swimming anyway. My boy is dead now.
We just moved to the island that year. And they were making a movie, they'll pay you $40 a day to be an extra in it. And you're 12 years old, so it's like, you know, I got a speaking part. We all signed up to be an extra, and they were going to get $40 a day. And they called a few people back, and I went down, and Spielberg was there. He goes, you have a speaking part. You'll get $140 a day. That was about it, but never knew about royalties. Like, when it came on TV, you got a check. It's like, what the hell is this? Thousands of dollars would show up. And it's like, over the years, like, my brother lives in Portugal, you get a little text from him, good news, you just died on TV over here. It's like, ah, you got a little check coming. So it pays to die.
It pays to die. I love it. Jeffrey Voorhees is my guest, played Alex Kintner in Jaws, who was eaten rather early, as you've heard. Martha's Vineyard was Amity Island in the movie. Do you live nearby Martha's Vineyard now?
I was running my dog on the beach where I was eating a few hours ago. I still live on the island. I live right near the beach where I got chowed.
On the set of Jaws, did you meet Roy Scheider?
Yeah, you met all those guys. Spielberg felt bad. All these kids that were freezing their little asses off. He's like, you know, we're stuck out there for hours in the cold. And he's like, let's have some cookouts and baseball games. So you'd be out there playing with Richard Dreyfuss and those guys. And it's a small town, so you see them all over the place. And one time, it's like, there's a cookout, and we're down there, Richard Dreyfuss, those guys are playing ball, and then you look down, it's like Robert Shaw, far away from everyone. It's like, oh, I'm going to go say hi to him. We're little kids. We run over, hey, how's it going? And he smelled booze, and he's like, ah, get away from me, you little shit. Yeah, he wanted nothing to do with kids, so it's a small island. So every time we saw him walking down the street, reading scripts, we sneak down in the alley, jump out, hey, how's it going? Just to piss him off. You know, you're going to be rude to the little kids, we're going to be a pain in your bunda.
$10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
Oh, man, what a movie. That was Jeff Voorhees, who played one of the shark victims. And again, celebrating its 50th anniversary, it's officially been re-released this weekend, limited time, I think only 4 or 5 days, and it's on over at the Kramer IMAX. Labor Day long weekend, ain't it fun? Riders, of course, big focus on the weekend here on Sunday with the game itself. Tomorrow, you can actually meet the players after they do a light walkthrough, but there's autographs as well on the field. It is just like an awesome weekend. Joining me now, Andrew Shepherd from the 980 CJME Newsroom. I always like, over the next couple of days, Shep, the buildup to the game itself, because you see a lot of fans from Winnipeg with their jerseys on, wandering among us.
Start them, yeah. They're
a little chirping.
They're probably going to start to arrive today,
yeah.
And then maybe Saturday into the game. They're staying. It's good for the economy. Puts millions into it.
Oh, it is.
You'll see them. Yeah, you'll see a little bit of blue around, but hopefully there's more green.
Speaking
I'm pretty
blue,
confident.
Well,
by
the way, it is Green Day. I'm encouraging you to wear green before you leave the house today. We want to paint the city green today. Officially, the mayor proclaimed it Green Day, as you heard here yesterday morning. We got the city proclamation. You can see it on our CJME Facebook pages, on my morning show Facebook page. But you're wearing blue. This really disappointed
well,
me today
that.
When I walked in. You're wearing blue, Shep.
Hold on. Not that blue. I'm wearing the Blue Jays because it's Shane Bieber Day.
Well, I don't know. This should not overcome Green Day. I've worked my butt off turning this into Green Day, and you come in insulting me with a Blue Jays jersey.
I brought both. I'm gonna swap over halfway through the shift.
How big
is
this game for your Jays tonight?
It's pretty big. They're against the Milwaukee Brewers, the best team in the league, and then the Blue Jays are second best. So clash of the top two. They've got Shane Bieber, the pitcher, the former Cy Young winner that they acquired at the trade deadline. He's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Big game.
Okay. Well, I wish you well. But yeah, I need you to flip
into Not as big as Labor Day Classic.
That green jersey. Well, look, it is. There's more than football to talk about in the headlines here this morning. And we haven't had a lot of tariff conversation as of late. But this is something of note that come Monday, one is going to be lifted.
The
retaliatory?
Yes, tariffs? The Canada is dropping its counter tariffs on U.S. goods. Now, these are the ones that are covered under CUSMA. That's happening on Monday. It was something that really bugged the U.S. during negotiations after Trump imposed his tariffs, as we're still trying to get a new trade deal in place. So the prime minister announced he's dropping that, likely in a way to maybe ease those tensions and get a deal. We spoke with a business owner in Martinsville, the owner of Hugsy's Place. They have all those wacky like candy and pop and stuff that you can't really get in Canada. They import it from the U.S.
Right.
So this will help them huge because they're paying tariffs on that. And the owner says it'll be such a relief on his wallet. Paperwork, all the paperwork he's got to do, doesn't have to do that.
Okay.
And then even because of this, he can lower prices on a few items, he says.
All right. So, and maternity ward issues. What's going on here?
Yeah, the maternity nurses, this is both in Regina and Saskatoon, are raising concerns with the union Sun about overall safety of mothers and babies, dealing with staffing shortages. It's kind of more the same of you know, healthcare concerns have been raised ever since the pandemic, really. But the Sun, the union, is saying that this is now impacting the maternity unit now, and, you know, saying that there's been cases where epidurals have been denied for mothers in pain because there's just no one around to do it. People are laboring in triage, and they're saying that they need this fixed.
Okay, more from Andrew Shepherd coming up here at the top of the hour. Thank you, my friend. Just after the 7 o'clock news, I'll be joined by Paul Johnson from SAS Parks. This is it. This is the last long weekend for SAS Parks to offer what they do best, and that is a lot of extra programs for you, wherever you might be going, whatever provincial park. There's probably something extra special going on. We'll find out some of what is happening here this weekend, but this is it, the last hurrah, and it does appear that a lot of people are planning on going camping. Paul was suggesting that we're over 70% as far as camp space that's been taken up already. So more on that with SAS Parks right after the 7 o'clock news. Let the good times roll. Oh, won't you let the good times roll? It's the long Labor Day weekend. Let the good times roll. Happy Friday, everyone. It is going to be staying hot through it all. I know there's a little gloominess to the air this morning with these clouds drifting through, but we'll get rid of them. And a good opportunity for you to enjoy all the festivities in Lumsden this weekend, where the big Lumsden Duck Derby is back. They got the Jalen Bale today, Cabaret tomorrow, Monday, of course, Pancake Breakfast Parade, and the duck drop of 35,000-ish little yellow rubber duckies, all raised up in a crane and dropped into the Qu'Appell River to race down to the finish line, all for charity. So hope it goes well in Lumsden. And, of course, our fields across the prairies are busy right now. It's harvest time, just slightly behind from this time last year. 12% of the crop is in the bin right now. Last year we were about 25% too. And these are the final few days of summer vacation for kids and families before heading back to school on Tuesday. And I'm telling you right now, if it's a camping weekend, you got the forecast with you here right now too. Joining me is Paul Johnson from SAS Parks. Thanks for being here, Paul.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
You've had a little time to reflect, I think. It's been a busy camping season, but has it been a successful one across Saskatchewan so far this year?
Yeah, it's been overall successful, Greg. Of course, we had the wildfires early on in the season that caused a lot of turmoil. And, of course, we had a fire go through one of our provincial parks at Narrow Hills and impact Lac La Ronge pretty significantly, and Candle Lake as well. But since then, it's been great. The fire situations have calmed down significantly, where most of them are under control. And our clients, our visitors, are back in full force. So it's been an overall good year so far, but we're not done yet.
Okay, well, what sort of occupancy is available for the Labor Day long weekend? Let's start there.
Yeah, last big push for the weekend. And again, people think we're full, but we're not. Overall, the occupancy for the coming weekend is about 70%. So there's lots of places to go, but that varies park by park. Places like Rowan's Ravine are 93% booked for this coming weekend, but lots of other opportunities to camp in different parks. Cypress Hills is only 76%. So we do have availability, Greg. That's the key message.
Paul, what's it like at, say, a little closer to Regina here, Buffalo Pound, even Fort Qu'Appell?
Yeah, Buffalo Pound, we're pushing 90%. Echo Valley, we're pushing about 86%. So, again, pretty full. But that still means we have quite a few sites available in both of those locations. Pike Lake as well, we're at about 90%, 91%. So there's still lots of availability, Greg, and urge people to get on it as quick as they can, because with the weather forecast that we're looking at, I expect we may see that fuller.
Well, as hot as it's going to be this weekend, a lot of the provincial fire bans have been lifted so far too, right?
Yeah, there's no fire restrictions, and that's the beautiful thing about fall camping or late summer camping like we're looking at this weekend. It cools off at night, and people love a campfire, so no fire restrictions in place right now. Get out there and enjoy a nice warm fire in the evenings.
Well, I got to reiterate that fact, because we were at Cypress last weekend, and yeah, lovely by day. In the evening, it does cool off quickly, and you need a hoodie or something as you're planning the evening out at a provincial park right now. With vacation season winding down, Paul, and kids going back to school, how do provincial parks move forward, and what do they have to offer in the coming months?
Yeah, well, remember, we're open until the end of September. Full services in our campgrounds and parks until September 30th. So there's lots of fall camping options available. And I did take a peek at the long-range forecast. It does look really, really good well into September. So still lots of camping in September. October, we still offer camping in October. The services start to shut down. That's when we have to blow out water lines and do those sorts of things. But there is limited services available in October. And, of course, for the hardy, there's winter camping options that will be available. But it's too soon to start talking about winter, Greg.
SAS Parks, Paul Johnson. Hit me up with the site everyone needs to go to book a camping site in time for the weekend here. Where do you find all that information out?
It's pretty easy. It's saskparks.com, Greg, and you can find all those sorts of information about things that are happening this coming long weekend. There's lots of events and activities throughout the park system. It's all on saskparks.com.
Yeah, boy, I'm riding home. In a 4x4 bayou, bayou to Kentucky, city to the
okay, she's one of the hottest artists in country music right now, Lainey Wilson, and all sold out in Saskatoon tomorrow night at Sastel Center. Boy, in my household, my youngest daughter, she can do no wrong, Lainey Wilson, and I've seen her in concert a couple years ago. I was impressed, but what's funny is that tomorrow night. I'm actually, you know, going to Saskatoon with Evan Bray, who has
sitting
no
in
clue.
The front row.
No, we won't be sitting. Oh, okay. Taking our dates, and I don't think you can name a song other than
four by you.
Yeah, just played that intentionally for you to give you a little preview. We're doing it because it's just a bonding thing, and
Lainey Wilson is a good singer. I mean, just because I can't name a bunch of her songs doesn't mean I'm not going to have a good time at the concert.
How often have I suggested to you and Jody, okay, we're going to go to this concert, and you have no idea the artists. We've done it a few times.
Sometimes the surprise is half of the adventure.
Well, you always seem to have a good time.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, okay, so you're wearing your green. It's Green Day.
It's Green Day. Well, I saw yesterday you posted it online, the proclamation. I mean, that's
the mayor gave it to us.
Yeah.
I want to thank...
I knew you were going to do this.
This is funny. I want to thank Ariel Zur over at the Saskatchewan Rough Riders office. I assume it was her to send us these Labor Day t-shirts. Now, they're green, obviously, and it says on the front, 60th Labor Day Classic, a prairie tradition since 1949. And on the back of the shirt, every single Labor Day game is listed, including the final score. And the series lead is led by the Rough Riders 38-21 over the years. Now, what's funny is these two shirts came for us.
They came in a package that just said Greg/Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we opened up the bag.
And we said, oh, well, how do we know whose is whose?
Well, one was an XL. One was, what, was it triple XL?
No, double Greg. Come on.
Triple XL.
Double Greg.
So I had a good laugh at that. Thanks for sending the shirts. We identified which one was whose almost immediately. But what do you think about this Labor Day game? Like, what comes to mind for you? Like, you've sat in the stands, the old Taylor Field.
Well, I think about, I mean, as you know, I did public address announcing for 14 years for the Riders, and that Labor Day.
I completely forgot about you? That.
That Labor Day game is an exciting one, and you could just feel the vibe is different in the stadium. And there's a lot of people, this is the one game a year they come to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about as a fan? Did you ever, like, I can recall sitting on Emerald Hill at the old stadium.
Well, I had season tickets for a while on the sunny side. So my buddy Mark.
You were always
and I,
a little better off than I was.
Well, I don't know about that. But,
but no, it was fun there, and it's just as fun now. The Canadian Armed Forces, the Riders announced, are going to do a flyover. That's always kind of cool.
Very cool.
As well, too. So there's lots of buzz. Now, I have. As I always do Friday morning, I write my score down.
Yeah.
And then I talk to Belton Johnson.
I listened to you too this morning.
He got the same score as me, 27-25. The mayor said they will win 29-11. That's a bit of a blowout.
Yeah, a bit of a blowout. I'm saying 35-23. That's my prognostication.
Okay, well, that's probably coming up on the show
today. Yeah, it is. 12 o'clock today, we're doing that. So you can look forward to that. Also, I've got Nelson Hakowich on. You know the Hakowich family in the city? They are the big
Rider
fans.
They've been on television, Family Feud, everything.
Well, Nelson's now developed a CFL game. You can play as the Riders if you want to play
football. That's cool, I've seen the graphics. It looks pretty sharp.
So we'll talk about that on the show today, too.
Okay, and again, he makes a return. You must have left an impression.
I guess we did.
The Conservative Party of Canada leader, Pierre Poilievre, he's back.
Yeah, in fact, I'm happy to say they reached out to us. He's doing a news conference this morning on Castle Law. So this is the case. A guy broke into an apartment in Lindsay, Ontario. Homeowner defends himself and ends up getting charged, right? So Pierre Poilievre doing a news conference this morning on changes he wants to see to Castle Law in Canada, and he's going to come on our show at 10 o'clock.
Do you think changes need to be made?
I do. I think we need to look at this differently and provide people some assurance that they have the right to protect themselves. Yeah. The threshold is different for police, and I talked about this on my show. There is an expectation, obviously, police won't use more force than is necessary. I don't know how you expect everyday citizens who are scared, who are emotional, who are at a heightened level of fear to make sure that their reaction is proportionate.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that'll be a hot topic today. And I hope you have a great long Labor Day weekend.
Well, Lainey Wilson, my friend.
Part of it's with me, so it should be awesome for you. Thank you, Evan.
Wearing my double XL shirt.
Back at 8:30, the Evan Bray Show.